Hi everyone, I'm hoping this recording is going to go well just because this is my second one and I promised myself I wouldn't do a late night one, but this is what I had time for. I figured out by doing my previous recordings that a lot of information that I'm putting in is just too much for one pod, and so I'm deciding to break it up. And so each city that we're going to be doing, it's going to be broken up into activities, food, and missed food opportunities. And so that way cover a little bit more research for you guys, and also to kind of remind myself what we kind of had to like give up, which is going to happen when you take a trip, is you're not going to get to everything that you want to do. I have that problem, but I know a lot of you guys like, oh, no big deal, no big hiss, but just we're going to be talking about New York 2018, and I want to talk about just, again, this podcast, what it's about being a traveler and not a tourist, and just keeping with that mentality of what am I thinking about as I'm picking out a place to go and, you know, visiting these places and what I'm hoping to experience, what my values are, my priorities, as far as like, how am I making my decisions? Usually it's all food. But this trip was a little bit different in that, you know, I think it was more for my wife. And so you'll see a lot more museums in here, a lot more walks, a lot less food that's put in between, things that were compromised. You know, and it's being in a marriage, that's what it's going to be about. And so that's what this trip was about. I think there was only one time that we really fought, and it was just really a panic attack, if anything, just about the scope of the trip that we took. It was pretty intense. It was pretty packed, and there was a lot that we had to process as far as like what we were experiencing during the whole trip. I know it sounds like a lot of heavy stuff, but I promise there was a lot of fun in it too. And so here we go. Drink of choice during this time: New York, East Coast. It's a rye area. What I'm talking about as far as like rye goes, it's, I don't know exactly what it is. I want to say it's like a wheat or a grain or something, but, it's really sweet, really bready. I'm drinking a Sagamore cask strength rye. This is something that we picked up in Baltimore, and I will be drinking this through our East Coast trip just because out of a salute to them, and just, into the areas, and just kind of like a tribute to say thanks and just to remember it all. So cheers. So let's start with flights. I know a lot of times we'll choose, especially those of us in Orange County, will choose to go to LAX because it is always going to be cheaper. But right now, at this point in time in 2018, there's so much freaking construction that's going on right now, and there's so much traffic that literally what usually would take 30 minutes at off hours is now taking about an hour and a half. It sounds like I'm crazy, but my last time picking up friends was just not the case. It took way too long. And so if you ever have anyone picking you up as friends, just know that they're really good friends. And they really care for you. They don't complain. They don't bitch. Then keep them. Work as much as you can to keep them. Because to drive through that traffic, to put up with all that kind of stuff and fight the lanes and, you know, just trying to get there is just too insane. Just a little side tip. Something I picked up from my dad is parking-wise, it's too hard to pick up people on the curb. I know it sounds crazy, but for me, I like to deal with less, especially working at Costco. You deal with traffic anyways and crowds and people. If I can avoid it, it causes less stress. You deal with less things. There's less decisions to be made, especially when you have to make so many decisions throughout the day. You use less brain power. So my automatic thing is that if I'm picking you up in LAX, I'm picking you up at the parking structure. Plan the time. If you're there within 15 minutes, it's free. But anything above 15 minutes is like $3 and however much beyond that, you know? To me, that's worth peace of mind, especially if you're trying to spend like 15 minutes to try to pull over and then drive around again, and then pull over, and then drive around again. You have a static location as you're going to the parking structure, and you're just waiting there to kind of pick people up. But to my wife and I, we will never fly Frontier or Spirit unless it is the only flight available to where we need to go. Just our experiences with it, it's not worth the hassle. It's not worth any of that trouble. If we're paying $20, $40 more to fly JetBlue, it's worth it to us to not deal with it. And also, like, as far as like taking a Lyft to there versus taking a Lyft to LAX or having one of our friends drop us off, it's just less of a headache, especially when for us, we'd rather get somewhere like 2 hours early instead of like an hour up to that time. I know it sounds crazy, but it's just we've had so many what if situations, and you'll find out towards the end of the trip that we actually ended up missing our flight because we were too early. I know it sounds crazy, but we'll explain more later on as we're coming home from Baltimore. But yeah, so we flew out of Long Beach, JetBlue, easy, took a Lyft, got there on time, had no problems checking in. It was quick, easy, TSA pre-check, and waited for a little bit, got a little bit of food before we went because our flight was going to be long, especially since we're going from West Coast to East Coast. We lose about 3 hours. Flew into JFK, and honestly, JFK on a Wednesday night, not bad. Traffic, Lyft was able to find us, designated Lyft pickup, easy. Got in our car, got out. This was all during the U.S. Open, so there was traffic. Granted, fine. Construction on the tunnel, fine, easy. Got to our hotel. And we stayed at the Gramercy down in, or I mean, the Marcel in the Gramercy, in that district. Midtown was the spot that we wanted to hit up, and that had a central location to all the places and things that we wanted to do. Quick list: Grand Central Market, Grand Central Terminal, the Met, Music Box Theater for a Broadway show, Chelsea Market, Brooklyn Bridge, and the 9/11 Ground Zero area with the World Trade Center. So that's what we wanted to do. The hotel itself, honestly, it was a great value for what we had. Just want to talk a little bit about some of the things that we experienced at the hotel because we went to go check everything out. We wanted to know where the coffee was. We didn't pick up the breakfast option because we knew that we were going to be eating breakfast from around the area. Everything's so close by, so we just took advantage. But at the hotel, we had some issues the first night, and the hotel, I spoke to the manager. A lot of times, like, they try to give you additional stuff that you wouldn't pay for. But for both my wife and I, we knew that all we wanted was just to enjoy the trip, to get a room during our time during New York. We didn't need Wi-Fi. We didn't need breakfast. We didn't need all these extra things they want to keep throwing at us, you know? I think a lot of times we may have this idea that we want to keep tacking things on, but for what had happened in the room, the best thing they could have done for us was to reduce the price for the first day. And that's all we wanted. Just because I think with our expectations not being met, adding things on doesn't solve everything. And so, customer service wise, with what the manager was able to do, took care of us. Worked with us on the price on the first night, and we were happy the rest of the week. Everything else was brilliant. Service was brilliant. The staff was nice. It was just easy coming in and out, we felt safe walking to and from. We were very close to the subway lines that we need to be at. And for New York, mastering the subway system is key, and knowing which lines are good and which lines are bad is also key. I know that it's not really spoken much, but a lot of the locals, they'll tell you which lines are the best at it. It's pretty crazy just because each of them have their favorites, and so they like one line over the other. I know it sounds really funny and weird, but some of the lines work a certain way, and so a lot of our friends there, they just have a line that they just prefer over another, so they'll wait to get on that line instead of taking the quickest one that's coming, you know. It's pretty interesting. So from the hotel to Subway, it was just, it took us a while to get used to it because our GPS didn't work. So we got a week pass, which was $27 each. I recommend it. It's unlimited rides. It helps you on the bus as well as it takes you on the subway. So whatever you need to do when you use your GPS, it's, you can just track it to the phone and just say, taking public transit, and it'll help you in any place that you are, and they'll have connections to all the information so you don't have to learn where it goes where. The only problem is with the Google map, it doesn't tell you which side of the street to enter on, and the signs aren't always, they don't always make sense. You just have to know whether the train is north or south or east or west. And so we made a couple of mistakes our first day, and even finding the entrance is kind of difficult unless you're used to it being there, which is the other thing, which is really weird because, you know, the way the system is, they just assume that you would know. And that's really hard, I guess, because you're just like so frustrated trying to find the freaking entrance to the thing, even though you have it on your phone, it's telling you it's in one spot, but it's not. And so we learned that, all right, wherever it's telling you, it's assuming that you're underground, and so that's why it's telling you it's like the block over or whatever it is. So the best thing you can do is to find the entrance, like either a block away or wherever it might be, and just walk that distance and get in there, you know? It's pretty crazy because they don't have like an open door entrance for the subway system, which to me is just really frustrating. And so I guess if like someone from the East Coast was trying to learn our freeway system over here in Orange County, LA, I guess they would be just as frustrated. But I don't know. I just don't get it. It took about 2 days to finally say, okay, I know where the entrance is and this is where I'm gonna go, and you know, things felt like it took less time. But subway system, definitely need it. It helps, it gets you within whatever you need to do, avoiding traffic. We didn't really have to fight for too many things. The weather was hot, underneath was hot, and we learned a quick lesson. Some of the cars don't always have AC. So there's two possibilities if you see an empty subway car. First one, there's a homeless guy in there and you smell really bad. Second one, the AC doesn't work. So you pick and choose your poison. Tourist people like myself, travelers will walk in and we will endure it for whatever amount of time because we don't want to wait for the next train because we don't know. But locals, I found, like especially a lot of them that come through, they're like, they're walking through the door and then all of a sudden they're just like, oh hell no. And then they just wait for the next train. You know, it happened quite a few times. And so a lot of times you just have to pay attention to those the signs. And so it was just really interesting to see that, because you could tell the difference between people that live there and the people that don't. And so, yeah, that was a really great time. We suffered through that hot car for probably about 10 minutes, because that's how long it took to get to our exit. But it was just, it was that, or we wait for another train that's full of people. And you know, we just didn't want to deal with it. With all the stories of being pickpocketed, especially in Midtown, we did our best to be vigilant and we were aware of our surroundings and tried not to be those people that just got caught up with a bad crowd. So, that pretty much sums up our first day. I'll talk about food wise. Actually, you know what? I'll just say it, just so it's easier to kind of keep track. We did Nomad Bar that night, came home. Because of whatever issues we had in our room, we didn't sleep until about 3 a.m. And then, so the next day, we just didn't have breakfast. We woke up, we had our first meal was at 10 a.m. for our reservation at Jacob's Pickles. That's what we did. From there, we went to the Met, which was in mid, what was it, Upper Midtown? No, it's called, Upper West Side, went through Central Park. Central Park's about a mile and a half wide. We took that to the other side where the Met was. Spent some time at the Met. So the Met, it's really interesting. On the website it says $25, but on different articles that I was looking up after our trip, they were saying that it's a suggested amount, which is crazy because as we were at the kiosk paying for our tickets, it did not say that. And a lot of the times too, like people would walk up and the security that was there was asking people to go get a ticket. So it made it seem like you have to get a ticket, but the Met apparently is paid for by the city. So I'm not quite sure what's real or not. And I think even my wife told me it was free, but when we saw like we have to pay for a ticket, we paid for a ticket, you know? So go ahead and research that up. But we spent about 2.5 hours there. And then from the Met, we went to have a late lunch. We went to Maison Pickle, and that was from 3:30 till like about 4:30, 5 o'clock p.m. From then on, we didn't have our next spot until Dear Evan Hansen, and we wanted to be there like at 6 o'clock. So we went back to the hotel. We spent some time just kind of freshen up a little bit, change, because it's been a hot day, 90 degrees, 90% humidity. We got ready, we took the train, subway, went up, because we had to go back to Times Square. That's where the Music Box Theater was for Dear Evan Hansen. So the weather on the East Coast, so unpredictable, because we followed whatever we could. We kept tracking, because this is all during the hurricanes and during the season. We had tropical depressions that were going on, and it was just, we're trying to keep track of everything, pretty much. And you can do what you can, but honestly, it's better just to overplan. So carry a jacket with you, even though it's a pain in the butt. Because the alternative is this. As soon as we got on the train, or got off the subway, it started downpouring, hot rain, and it was intense. And as you know, you're going to the Broadway show, you're dressed up. So people that didn't want to deal with the rain, they stayed down in the subway. My wife and I, we went up and we went to scope around as soon as we can to kind of find the right direction where we need to go. Because from the subway exit, we're about less than a mile away. We didn't bring an umbrella. We didn't bring a jacket. We didn't bring anything. So I was getting drenched head to toe. People could see through my shirt. That's how wet it was getting. You know, it was just one of those, like, complete regret. And we found a guy that was hustling umbrellas. We bought one for $5, and then we used it as best we can to make it to the next point. We walked through all of Times Square, which was kind of nice. Since it was raining, it was emptied out. And so we made it to our next spot, which was the Music Box Theater through Times Square. Really great place just because of all the lights. You got to see it for a little bit, but honestly, I wouldn't spend that much time in there. But we made it to our show. And so with Dear Evan Hansen, this was suggested by our friend and also our State Farm agent. She has been through us for a long time, been with us for a long time, and been through a lot of things together with us. It's just been really awesome getting to know her, and so we had a chance to talk a few months ago as we were planning this trip. She suggested that we go and check the show out. My wife really loves Broadway shows, and we try to see as much as we can. And having an opportunity to see this one won Musical of the Year, doing the research for this, I was really excited. I felt like it was so relevant for what was going on today, and just it's about, without giving away too much, it's about teenage depression, anxiety, dealing with social media, dealing with another student's suicide, parents and how they're dealing it from their perspective. And combining it all together with like pop music, some stuff that's catchy, but also powerful lyrics, and an incredible cast too. And so they had gone through a whole like award season and done really well. And I have yet to see Hamilton, so I can't make a comparison if people need to hear one. But music-wise, I just love Dear Evan Hansen better. They're doing a national tour now, so I don't know when this, if when, whenever you'll hear this, but it should be hitting Orange County in around January of 2019. And so it's just, it's a time to see it, and it's a time to really process what's been going on. Because for me, having listened to the music ahead of time, it really prepped me for what was going to happen, and be able to really be engaged in the story through that. You know, there was this interview that Ben Platt did. He's the main character of the original show. He did it for about 3 to 4 years. He was on with Stephen Colbert, and I think Stephen Colbert said it best. He cried from the first song, and he didn't stop until the end. And it's because we all have that kid that we knew or know growing up has dealt with that. Or maybe we have, you know? But we connect so strongly, especially with what these kids are going through. And I feel for my nieces and nephews. I feel for a lot of my friends' kids, just with some of the stuff that they have to deal with nowadays, you know? Don't want to get into too much details, but I would just say, please watch it. Do what you can. If it's in town, please watch it. It hasn't gone to Hamilton prices yet, but it will. That's how good this show is. I know that people are writing it kind of hard just because it doesn't feel like it is new. It doesn't have to, but I feel like it connects so well with the times right now and is appropriate. Or even listen to some of the music and see what you feel from it, you know? But after having watched the show with the wet shirt and just freezing my butt off in the music box theater, which cramped, I can't even stretch my legs, it's so small. Air conditioner was on freaking full blast, even though outside was hot. It was still such a memorable experience. I enjoyed it, my wife enjoyed it, and it was just one of those where I'm so happy we got to experience it together. And I can't wait to watch it again, really. And so that was our first night. After that, we went to go hang out with some friends at this pizza place, a local spot called Speedy Romeo's. Closed the place down. Didn't leave until like 1:30 in the morning. After that, we went to go get some sleep, and then we started our next day. We did daily provisions. After that, we went to Grand Central Market. Grand Central Market, we did just looked around. It was just one of the really big hall terminals. Just don't know how else to explain it. It's just like the movies. It's like Home Alone. It's just crazy big, you know? But it just shows like the history and just the times that were back then, like trapped in time. After that, we hit our lunch reservation at Minetta Tavern. Best burger that I've tasted so far in the United States. It's funny, it's a French bistro place, right? And the grind is from Pat LaFrieda. Best burger. Emotional just because it's on your bucket list and it's like, is it really the best burger? Is it really this and that? Yes, it is. Also experience a one-of-a-kind bourbon that I'm chasing. If you ever see Widow Jane bourbon, definitely pick one up. And so, from there, we went down to World Trade Center, the Obelisk. It's really crazy. The site that it used to be at, or I'm sorry, the new place that it's at, they turned it into a mall. And so, like, there's this, like, outlet and just a bunch of stores. It's, like, this huge spot, right? And it's connected to the new World Trade Center. And walking through it, it's pretty intimidating. The way that it's mapped out, it's, like, almost like a campus in New York. But going to the site itself, the memorial, was truly inspiring and also very somber. I think just because with all the names that are written down at the memorial itself and seeing the waterfalls and seeing the people, just there wasn't a lot of laughing. There wasn't a lot of excitement necessarily. It was more of a realization as a nation what we've gone through, you know? And I feel like the wound is still so fresh, but we've kind of pushed it to the back of the corner and just refused to admit that it's there. It's really sad too, because going there, I realized that we haven't really made it as far as we thought we might have. And it's really sad to say, just because maybe sometimes we hate to admit that we're wrong. I remember even leading up to 9/11, like, we had the same type of environment that we had now. Maybe not as extreme, but there was a lot of disunity. But it took this tragedy to really bring us together. I remember, like, watching the baseball games and the times that we had to kind of try to heal as a nation at the sporting events. We didn't hear anymore about all these, like, social injustice that was brought about. We didn't hear about just the, you know, the level of disparity in welfare and class, and just, we didn't hear none of that. It was all about giving. We gave as much as we could. My friends and I, we donated blood during that time. We kept donating blood for a few years. I still do whenever we do it at work. But knowing that as a nation, we came together for this. There may be some little squabbles here and there, but it's just really a shame, you know? I really hope and pray we don't need another one of these national tragedies to bring us together. I don't know how else we can, but I really miss everything that my dad, like, taught me as we came to this country, you know? I was born here, but as my dad came, he really believed the rhetoric that was being preached. And I can see why he was, especially during that time. I saw a lot of people gave to people that were refugees, that needed a home, that needed a start because their home was torn away from them. Freedom, what it costed, the values of the United States, what it meant, especially bringing and adapting people to it, and being patient with those that didn't know the language and didn't know the culture. I saw all of it growing up. And now it's just not there anymore, I don't think. All these thoughts passed through my head as I was walking through this. And I really don't know how to add to this. All I know is that I can be a better citizen. I can be a better man. I can represent myself and my family the best way that I know how. And continue to love and to continue to teach and educate those that would come to this country and to come to my country, that we can be better. And so from the memorial, we walked to the Brooklyn Bridge. We only made it halfway. For those that have not been to the Brooklyn Bridge, they have a pathway that's available on either side. So basically on the walkway, it's there's two lanes. The left lane going towards Brooklyn, it's for bikers. The one on the right, it's going to be for pedestrians. And so you'll have vendors on the right side for pedestrians. And so there'll be like some crisscross sometimes. But there's some people that are just blatantly ignorant to it. And so they'll either get hit by the bicyclists or they'll get yelled at the whole time as they're walking through. And so this is just all things to consider as you're doing it. Courtesy is always appreciated because even though the cars are driving down below, we have to work together still. Just because as you're walking through, there's a certain amount of safety that is in concern, right? So we took some photos as we were halfway because we had to make it back. We went back to the Lower East Side. We walked up back to our hotel. We walked to Milk Bar. That's on our bucket list. I can't express how big it is, just because I think that as you have Milk Bar, that's a sister restaurant of Momofuku, you don't realize the impact that it's had unless you've had other desserts that are in your area. Like if you've ever had cereal milk ice cream, Milk Bar is the first. If you've ever had one of those weird ice creams like from McConnell's or from like Afters, Milk Bar was the first. They're the ones that said, "Let's think outside the box. Let's change the way that we think about dessert." And it's crazy because I think people don't want to give them the credit for it, and especially when you taste their desserts, like you don't realize what an impact it has had unless you've had everything afterwards. Because without Milk Bar, I don't believe these places could have existed. And that's the kind of impact that I'm talking about. And I know I sound crazy, but I truly believe it. Because I'm thankful for having dessert places like this around here. I know there's a lot of Asian-inspired desserts, but I'm talking about like a lot of these desserts, like olive oil ice cream or like Thai tea ice cream. Like, it's who would have thought that somebody wanted to try it? Who are these weird people that want to eat these types of ice creams or these types of desserts? And so, just talking about the impact of it, not necessarily talking about the different types of food that we had there. So that night we had Osteria Morini, and then we went to Dear Irving, which is a speakeasy bar that took reservations. And then after that we went to what was that place? Fool's Gold, which is their, it's like a craft beer dive bar kind of place. Excellent service, just wonderful time, local spot, you know. And so it was really good to be in a place like that, because you can go to all the fancy places as you want to, but experiencing the local stuff like the locals do was just something that was not offered, right? Usually. So if you could find a way to experience that and ask what the locals like to do, you really get a better taste of what it's like to live in that city, to enjoy the city from that perspective. So that was something that was a bonus, and I think it was a point of priority for both my wife and I. And so we were able to make it back that night, which was late still, and then so we didn't have breakfast the next day. We ended up packing up, checking out, taking our bags with us to Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And we met up with some friends, the same friends that we've been hanging out all week. We ended up going to this place called Lindustri Pizzeria, won best pizza in New York City, 2017, on Eater, on Yelp, on TripAdvisor. A lot of awards were given to this place. And as we walked in, they asked us, because we were from California, they're like, "How did we find out about them?" Even some locals don't know who they are. Well, we told them that we are foodies and we found out about them through just these different avenues. We heard it through the grapevine how great this place is. And so we wanted to taste it for ourselves. It's kind of spoiling just too, because I mean, we had one or two slices at other places, but having this pizza. Okay, now it's just going to be all cliche right here, right? Life changing. And I think the way one of the workers explained it, it's like as if Rome and New York made love and had a baby. this would be that pizza. This was the love that came out of it. This is the dough, the toppings, the design, the oven. It was just, it was a wonderful, wonderful pizza. I think all pizzas that I have in my life will now be forever judged by this pizza alone. That's how crazy this pizza is. And people that don't believe me, they should just go have this pizza and then come back and talk to me, you know? You can go to Italy and have your pizza, fine, do it. I've never had that experience, so I can't say to judge that one, but out of the pizzas that I've had, this one has become a standard. The pizza that we ordered was a margarita. And so we went through this hipster neighborhood in Williamsburg. That's where this place is. There's a lot of great pizzerias that are in Brooklyn. We just didn't get a chance to because we didn't have time. We went to Emmy Squared, which was a Detroit-style pizza. We got pepperoni. And Detroit-style pizza, if I can explain it, it's like this pan dish pizza, not like Chicago, but a little bit thinner, but a really crispy, flaky crust. We'll talk a little bit more about like what we had later, but from there we went to tried to get to Penn Station in New York, and that was craziness in of itself. It took us about an hour. I think that was the only time locals actually stared us wrong, was in that instance, because they had told us earlier in the day, since it was a Saturday, that it was only going to take us like 30 minutes to get there from Brooklyn, if less than that, actually. And so my wife and I, we were just weren't worried, like, as we were leaving. We said, that's fine, we'll have plenty of time, whatever. So we ended up leaving probably about, we gave ourselves an hour, honestly, a little bit over an hour to get there, because we didn't want to rush. So we did that. As we got in our lift, for some odd reason, getting to the bridge took like 20 minutes. And we were just like, well, we're not going to make it, because we're looking at our own GPS and they're telling the same thing. So our driver took all these back roads to try to get around. We went all the way through the top of, up Brooklyn. I don't even know what that name of that city is, but I'm going to look it up right now for you guys. Just because it's really bothering me that I don't know this. We went north of Long Island to Astoria. That's how far north we went. So we went all the way up around the Upper East Side from the, all the way from Williamsburg, Greenpoint, Long Island City to Astoria. Through that bridge, going up, around, and all the way around. That was just so crazy to me. And then trying to make it to Penn Station in New York, which was in Times Square, Midtown. Oh my gosh. It was just such a crazy story, because as we were getting closer, I just told my wife that, you know what, since we're going to miss this anyways, let's just make peace with it, and then let's just plan to just take the next train and just pay the difference, whatever, right? And so we got there, like, we got to Penn Station, walked out, ran through the doors, just trying to get through, and then asking the people where was the Amtrak station. So we had to go through the other side because we went to the wrong side at Penn Station to the terminals. And then when we got to the desk, we're like, sir, did the train leave already? And the guy's like, no, the train's late too. It's going to be about 15 minutes. So we walked to like the area that he told us to wait. A bunch of people were waiting. We didn't realize this. People were trying to get home. So there's probably about like 300 of us, and as soon as they listed off where the which track the Amtrak was going to be on, everyone ran to that door. And so we lined up, happy as can be, honestly, just because we made the train. And then so we got in, and then we took our hour and a half train ride down to Philly. So it just sounds like so much towards the end of the day, but the way that we packed it up, we did as much as we could within that amount of time. to give us. And yeah, that was New York. That was just activities too that I just talked about. We got to enjoy it for what it was, and those were what we believe were the strengths of the time that we were on the trip. And so, if you like this segment, please try have a chance to check out the other ones, where I talk about the food that we actually ate and then the food that we missed out on, even though we researched it. Thank you.